as I'm sorry, verse 19, and the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel. See there, that smoke and that fire. There in that was the Lord Jesus, was the angel of God. It was the God in his pre-transfigured form. It was in his pre-magnified form. The angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them. And the pillar of cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians, the unbelievers, and the camp of Israel. And it was a cloud and darkness to them, but it gave light by night to these, so that the one came not near the other all the night. You know, and of course, as we look at this, this fire and this cloud was in the association of terms there, in the similitude that God is using even in these two verses, the fire and the cloud was the angel of God. He was represented in that manifestation of himself there. And again, as you see there, he could be a blessing or a cursing. A blessing to those that believed, or cursing to those that chose not to believe. And we'll look further into this now as it comes to this cloud that can rain blessing or it can rain cursing. You know, we got another typology even. Oh, I'm sorry, Leon Karen, if you didn't hear me, I'm sorry. Exodus chapter 13, verses 21 and 22, and Exodus 14, verses 19 and 20. Exodus 13, 21 and 22, and Exodus chapter 14, verses 19 and 20. Those are and that's okay, Karen, and Sister Karen's been really kind enough to post the verses when she has the opportunity to, when she has the ability to, as we go through these studies here on Sunday morning, and we certainly appreciate that. There's another brother in the Lord that has been copying these things, the studies on audio, to put them on his web page during the on the World Wide Web, the rightdivider.org or rightdivider.net. And we thank all of them for their part in the ministry. Now, as we go on with our study here, of course, this was the introduction of the things we're going to be looking at, but we'd like to give you all an opportunity, give you all a chance to partake in this ministry also. So we always give a chance for anybody that might want to give a short poem or a short... Brethren, again, we're here in the Old Testament, and we're talking about this similitude, this likeness, even this manifestation of God as he appeared, as he manifests himself to Israel, both in the cloud and in the fire, and there to keep their mind and their focus and their attention on him as they walk in their life, their temporary life on the world, going into, walking toward that kingdom that he had promised them in a covenant promise. He had given those the holidays, you know, the holy days, at the beginning of Exodus chapter 13 and some of Exodus 12 there. He gave them the ceremonies and the holy days of the days of unleavened bread and the day of Passover, that they could, as we're going to see later on, he's going to fill their calendar with it, so they keep their mind, their focus, their attention on him. I've so often compared that to that passage for us today in Romans chapter 8, verse 5 and 6, where he tells us to keep our mind, our attention, our mind on the things of the Spirit, you know, the things that the Spirit has given us of him in his word. As we keep our mind on those things, it's life. Or yet, should we choose to rather put our mind, our focus on the attention on things that we can do, that we're able to do, he says those things just bring death. They bring death to our life in Christ and our life in God. He tells us that Romans 8:14 that we're to be led by the Spirit. And so there's that's just another allegory of what we're looking at here in Exodus. And through these other passages that we'll be looking at today, we mentioned how it is that in the last week we looked at the typologies and the manifestation of the light of God and that pillar of the fire both in blessing and cursing, and today we'll look at the blessing and cursing as that cloud or darkness comes onto that nation. So here again, Exodus chapter 13 verse 21, and the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them, you know, to lead them the way. Do you see the associations of the word here? This cloud that they were to look at was to lead them, just as in Romans chapter 8, it was Christ and the things of the Spirit that are to lead us. Amen? Look at the wonderful type. You see, we learn these things by the association of the word. So as we go on, we've covered much of that previously. As we go on here, I'd just like to give you some of the representative passages. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 4, verse 5 and 6. Isaiah chapter 4, verse 5 and 6. Here, as Israel is walking further, I mean, this is so many years later, Israel's about to be condemned for their unfaithfulness, and yet the Lord reminds them that this cloud, this manifestation of God as He gave it to them previously, this cloud could bring blessing to them if they simply walk faithfully, in having their mind, their attention, their focus on Him. Isaiah chapter 4, verses 5 and 6, And the Lord will create upon every dwelling place of Mount Zion, you know, that promised land over there in Jerusalem, and upon her assemblies, the church, you know, the masses of the people, a cloud, look at there it is, a cloud, and smoke by day, and a shining of a flaming fire by night. For upon all the glory shall be a defense, and there shall be a tabernacle for a shadow in the daytime from the heat, and for a place of refuge, and for a covert from storm and from rain. This tabernacle, this cloud, look at the cloud is a typology of the tabernacle of God. A tabernacle is the, you know, as we studied through the Old Testament, Christ dwelt in the tabernacle. He dwelt in that tent that was covered with skins of animals, as a representation that He was going to dwell within that nation, even within all that nation represented here as an assembly back there in Exodus. We'll see a little later that assembly of the nation Israel coming out of Egypt and going into a land was declared a congregation. In Acts chapter 4 and Acts chapter 7, we see that congregation there is declared to be a church, you know, that followed Moses in the wilderness. And so here, this cloud could be a shadow from the daytime, from the heat. It could also rain unto them. It could, so often in the Bible, you see water as so much as a typology of God the Holy Spirit. In Jeremiah chapter 31, in Ezekiel chapter 36, where the Lord confirms the new covenant to that nation, Israel, He tells them in how it is that He's going to do that to them, and He uses the typology of sprinkling water on them. He says He's going to sprinkle water on them, and it's going to be a blessing unto them. It's going to be working of the Holy Ghost, even the empowerment of the Holy Ghost, to bring that nation to be able to walk and talk as He would have them walk and talk. He's going to work in them. There, in Jeremiah chapter 5, verse 24, God associates the rain and the water and the blessings of His word and His life to that nation. He manifests that as another association with the very creation that He had created Himself, and how that those things could be given to that nation, that nation should be appointed unto salvation, appointed unto the harvest of that whole nation going in to all the blessings that He had promised them in that covenant. You know, here in Exodus chapter 15, we're going to see how these clouds rained something else out for that nation in another typology, in another similitude. Here, and looking over here in Exodus chapter 15, we're going to follow through here how the cloud rained out feed rained out bread for that nation. You know, you all know the old saying, you know, we can't live by bread alone. Well, that came right out of the Bible. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word of the Lord. Amen? here in Exodus chapter 15, let me get this verse right here. Exodus chapter 15, verse 22 through 25. Verses 22 through 25. And the Lord brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur, and they went 3 days into the wilderness, notice, and found no water. The no water there, of course, was just pure water, you know, to quench their thirst. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore, the name of it was called Marah. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" And he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast into the waters were made sweet, when he made them for a statute and an ordinance. And there he proved them. You see there? Here, this water that they come, you know, as the nation Israel was walking, following the Lord there, they come upon this world, this water that was just in the earth, you know, another typology of the waters of the world, you know, another typology of the things that the world would have for that nation, as God was separating them from the world and bringing them as a congregation unto himself, they come upon the waters of the world, and the Lord says, you know, these things were bitter. They couldn't drink them. There was no life in them. So God threw this tree into the waters. Another wonderful typology another similitude of that tree that Christ would one day hang on, whereby the things of the Lord could be sweet unto them, and they could be profitable unto them. How do we know that? The very next verse, verse 26, and said, if, look at here, here's the things of the law, here's the things of the covenant that God had given unto that nation, here's the part of their promises and their contract that they made with God, that they were to do works to receive their physical, if, and thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight. In his sight. See there? He's got his sight on them also. And will give ear to his commandments. And keep all his statutes. I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians. For I am the Lord that healeth thee. And so, we go on. He's going to use another typology here that we'll study a little bit later. Just a minute. Verse 27, they came to Elim, and where were 12 wells of water, and 70 palm trees, and they encamped there by the waters. Look at here, here's another set of waters, that as the Lord is bringing them into their land, he says there's 12 wells of water. Whenever you see that number 12, you think of the 12 tribes of the nation Israel. And he talks about 70 palm trees. You know, later on, we're going to look at this verse a little later on, we're going to see that these 70 palm trees, 70 palm trees, we're going to see how these things were in the typology of those 70 elders that the Lord was going to set up for that nation a little later on. And these trees were palm trees. You know how a palm tree can bend and blow back and forth in the wind, and yet it lives? So it is with those elders that follow righteously in the things of the Lord. And we'll look at those things too a little later. But just to give you a hint of what's going on there. Let's go over here to chapter 16. Chapter 16, verses 14 and 15. Chapter 16, verses 14 and 15. You know, it came to pass a little later that as the nation Israel went on further in their travels there through the wilderness, as they came unto Sinai, chapter 16, verse 2, here it is, here's the word, the congregation, the church, the gathering together of the believers there, and the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said unto them, Would God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots, and when we did eat bread to the full. For ye have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. Again, notice here, this nation Israel is murmuring against Moses and Aaron now. You know, they're always got, they got their mind, they got their focus, they got their attention on the wrong things. Moses tells them in verse 8 that your murmurings are not against us, but against God. You know, against the Lord. What are you doing? You got your focus on mere men when it's God that's working through these things here. So here, God's going to show them that he's going to feed them. He's going to show them that he's not only going to heal them, he's not only going to be absolutely just as his name declared to them earlier in Exodus chapter 3. He was Jehovah unto them. He was their Lord. He was going to be everything that they needed. So here, in Exodus chapter 16, verse 14 and 15, and when the dew that lay was gone up, behold, the dew, you know, the dew came down out of the heavens, right? As night goes to day, and day goes to night, you know, condensation works up, and this dew, this water falls out of the skies, and it lands on the ground. And when the dew that laid was gone up, behold, upon the face of the wilderness, there lay a small round thing, as small as a hoarfrost of the ground. And when the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, it is manna. Manna. It's coriander seed. It was bread. It was a seed that they were going to mush into a bread. For they wist not what it was. And Moses said unto them, This is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat. Notice, again, we're talking about the clouds. We're talking about how was it the Lord was going to be feeding them. And he's feeding them out of the heavens, out of his own ability, out of the, you know, later we're going to see it's angel food. And yet he's feeding them, and is coming down in the water, out of the heavens, out of the Lord. Numbers chapter 11. People say, how are you putting all this together? Numbers chapter 11, verse 9. Numbers chapter 11, verse 9. We'll just let the Lord's word put this puzzle together for us, okay? Numbers chapter 11, verse 9. Again, as verse 4 tells us, the mixed multitude, the children of Israel with the Gentiles that followed in their faithfulness to the Lord, the mixed multitude they fell lusting, and the children also wept again and said, "Who shall give us flesh to eat?" So here again in verse 8 and 9, and the people went about and gathered it. The manna was a coriander seed. Verse 7. I'm sorry, Leo and Karen. I messed up a little bit there. Verse 7. And the manna was as coriander seed, and the color there was as the color of bellium. A lot of people try to tell us that this coriander seed was a corn. You know how sweet corn is? Isn't corn just a wonderful thing to eat? And yet it's got all this wonderful flavor in it. And so I don't know, but they just tell me that it was as corn. And the color thereof was the color of bedellium. And the people went about, gathered it, and ground it in mills, and beat it into mortar, and baked it in pans, and made cakes of it. And the taste of it was as the taste of fresh oil. And now look here, look at the association with the word here. You use coriander seed and powder. Leo and Karen, perhaps you could tell us a little bit more about that at the end of the study. I'd like to hear about that. And when the dew fell, verse 9, upon the camp in the night, the manna fell upon it. Look at, in that dew, within the makeup of that dew, was that manna. People say, no, the manna fell upon the dew. No, listen, read the words in the verse. And when the people, when the dew fell upon the camp in the night, the manna fell upon it. You see, the dew fell, the manna fell upon it. Fell upon what? Upon the camp. The manna fell upon the camp when the dew fell. Look here at associations. Psalm chapter 78, verse 24. Let me enlighten you a little bit more about where and what that manna had to do with. Out of the cloud, out of the heavens, out from the Lord. Psalm chapter 78, verse 24. Psalm chapter 78. See how we put these verses together and we get a clarification of what the Lord has for us here? Psalm chapter 78, verse... Well, let's start with verse 20, Karen. 20 to 24, okay, Karen? Oh, boy, I might be overworking you, and I hope you don't hold it against me. You're doing such a wonderful job there. Psalm 78, verses 20 to 24. You know what? Verse 18, you don't have to put this up here, Karen, but here again, the Lord talks about them tempting God in their heart by asking for meat for their lust. And they spake against God. You know, here we saw them speaking against Moses, but Moses clarified for them and said, you're not arguing against me, but you're murmuring against God. And he goes on, behold, verse 20, he smote the rock that the waters gushed out and the streams of overflowed that he gave, that can he give bread also? Can he provide flesh for his people? Therefore the Lord heard this and was wroth. So a fire was kindled against Jacob, and the anger also came up against Israel, because they believed not in God and trusted not in his salvation, though he had commanded the clouds. Look here. Listen closely now. And though he commanded the clouds from above and opened the doors of heaven and had rained down heaven upon them to eat and have given them the corn of heaven. You see that? And man did eat angels' food, verse 25. He sent them meat to the full. Look at that, will you, brethren? Out of the clouds. It rained down manna. Brethren, you know what? We got another similitude for that today. Right now, today, we have a similitude according to blessings and cursings from things raining down, not from heaven, but from man. You know, in the judgment that God placed into man's hand. In the nations of the world today, according to Romans chapter 13 and Genesis chapter 1 through 11, God gave man judgment to hold over the world so that there would not be chaos in the world. He gave man the ability to judge other men in the world under governmental systems. And so today, you've got a war going on between America and its allies and Iraq over there. And look here, blessings and cursings raining down from the gathering of these nations together to fight about against the injustice of Iraq and their regime over there. That these jets are flying overhead over that nation over there, right? And for enlightenment and for truth, they rain down these little tracks, right? They rain down all these little pieces of paper that tell that nation that they're going to be bombing. They're going to be raining down bombs to that nation, to that regime over there. They're going on their tanks and on their artillery, and they're going to be raining down cursing, right, in the form of bombs toward that regime. But for the people, they rain down tracts, and they say, stay in your home. And if you're close, if you live close to this regime, to the elements of the military, go visit somebody else's house. But stay away from them, because we're going to rain down judgment on this regime. And yet, the rain down of this of these tracts, that's blessings to the people that choose to believe it, right? Those that choose not to believe it, they got a good chance of losing their life also. In the war, we got this similitude that we can use. Again, just to give you a little added thing that's going on today. One other thing concerning this raining down of blessings, that the clouds could be a blessing for that nation Israel. You know, there was something, there was another bread that came down from heaven. John chapter 6, verse 58. John chapter 6, verse 58. In John chapter 6, as the Lord is showing the nation Israel that he was going to draw them, and he was going to draw them by the word of the Lord, just as the word works effectually in those of us that believe. In verse 45, 46, and 47, he says, by the word of the Lord, he's going to draw the nation Israel unto himself, verse 44. And so as By the way, you know, the Calvinists never see those verses. They say that he's going to draw them, but as if he's going to do it supernaturally and manifestly before they make a choice to believe. He says later, verse 45, 46, 47, and of the previous chapter, 539 through 547, that he's going to do it by his word. The same word that effectually worketh in us that believe, and the dispensation of the grace of God, it works to draw that nation Israel. The Calvinists never see those verses. They say he's going to draw them. He draws them whether they choose to believe or not, but not according to the word of the Lord, if you read it all in context. But here, in John chapter 6, verse 58, as God says as the Lord Jesus Christ talks about the God the Father sending him down for that nation. Verse 58, this is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. Wow, look at that, will you, brethren? Do these verses fit together for you now? Do these verses and this manifestation of Jesus Christ himself, of God himself, in the cloud and in the raining down of the things, and we can most certainly see how it is that these things could be a blessing for that nation Israel should they choose to believe, but it could also be a cursing. Remember in Exodus chapter 13, we saw how it was that cloud could be darkness. The light of the Lord couldn't get unto the world of Egypt, and yet for the nation Israel it would be light and it would be blessing. And this same cloud that would be darkness to one, it would be a curse to one, it would be a blessing to the other. And it just goes all the way through the Bible. In Job chapter 5, verses 11 through 14, even before, this is the first book of the Bible ever written. And in this book, we've got this issue where you've got this just, perfect man, Job. Now, Job wasn't sinless, but he was perfect in that he walked according to the things that the Lord had given him in the Word and the revelation that the Lord had given him in his day. And God tells us that Job was perfect. He was perfect, and yet not sinless. And so yet Satan and Lucifer and God are going to have this difference of opinion on whether or not Job would follow faithfully in the things of the Lord, even if he was to be cursed for the things in the things of the world, you know, in the elements of the world and such, because there's sin in the world. And of course, the Lord has absolute confidence in Job as Job gets further revelation that he will most certainly continue to follow the things of the Lord. But here in Job chapter Job chapter 5. I lost my place. That was wrong. Oh, yeah, Job chapter 5, verse 14 through 11 through 14. Job chapter 5, verse 11 through 14. Look at here. God, here Eliphaz is giving his argument, and he's trying to tell Job that he's being blessed and cursed according to his works, and not according to the things of the curse that had been put in the world. Of course, Eliphaz is wrong, but look at here. Eliphaz also is in a grand sense correct in his argument that in the end there will be a blessing and cursing according to the things that he's speaking here, but he's wrong in his application of them. Job chapter 5, verse 11. To set up on high those that be low, and those that which mourn shall be exalted to safety. He disappointeth the devices of the crafty, so their hand cannot perform their enterprise. He taketh the wise in their own craftiness, and the counsels of the forward is carried headlong. They meet with darkness in the daytime, and grope in the noonday as in the night. But he saveth the poor from the sword, from their mouth, and from the hand of the mighty. And the poor hath hope, and iniquity stoppers. Look here. Eliphaz is in effect taking in that day, in the day that Job's book was written, before God had started forming that nation Israel and had promised them cursing and blessing according to their faithfulness to the Lord in physical things. Job, here, Eliphaz, does the same things that so many Christians do today. He's trying to say that their blessings and their cursings and physical manifestations of things will be provided to them according to their perfectness or their righteousness in the things of the Lord, or in their not being faithful to the things of the Lord. And of course, he's wrong, but here, as we continue to study in the issues of the nation Israel and the blessings and cursings that God had promised them, these things that Eliphaz is saying would most essentially be true, should he divide the word of God correctly for himself back then. So here, we go on. We go here into Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4, verses 14 through 19. Proverbs was, of course, written by Solomon, that man of the Lord that had been made so much wiser than any man had ever been before or after. Proverbs, one of the blessings that the Lord gave him was that he was going to give Solomon his light and his truth and his wisdom. So in the book of Proverbs, Solomon so often reveals that for us. And by the way, in the book of Proverbs, though it was written for the nation Israel, there are interdispensational truths there, and you can find many truths that will work in your life as they do here for, or did for that nation Israel. In Proverbs chapter 4, Proverbs chapter 4, verses 14 through 19. Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Look at here. He's trying to add wisdom to the nation Israel. Avoid it. Pass not by it. Turn from it and pass away. For they sleep not, except they have done mischief. And their sleep is taken away, unless they cause some to fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness, and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. Look here, this cloud that the Lord had given to that nation Israel as a manifestation of the angel of God. He would be light to those that believed, and he would be darkness to those that chose not to believe. And here again, you can read through Proverbs there, and you can see another typology, another similitude of that. Go over here to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20. Let's see another one. Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20. Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Look at here. Here again, this darkness and light, the difference between them, the difference between what God represented, that cloud would be to one and to the other, the difference between dark and light, the difference between truth and lie, the difference between sweet and bitter. Do you see all the representations given in that one verse? Brethren, the nation Israel there, as God had brought them into their kingdom that was promised them, as represented in 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Chronicles, that nation was brought into their land, and should they have followed the things of the Lord, they were promised blessings. And they were also promised cursings if they didn't. But what happened? The kings that were within that nation went up against the word of the Lord, went up against the light that the Lord was giving to that nation. And so often they said, no, 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 no. There's not going to be any judgment for you for not believing. There's not going to be any judgment on you for not following the things. They kept promising peace to that nation. And here in Isaiah and Jeremiah, God is promising that nation that they're going to be taken into captivity as one of the judgments, one of the chastisements that was promised them in Leviticus chapter 23. We'll look at that later on in our studies here in the Old Testament survey. But God's promising them here in Isaiah and Jeremiah that they're going to be taken into captivity over there into Babylon. And as he's promising them this, he's saying, these guys are promising you peace. They're taking light. I'm sorry, they're taking darkness for light and bitter for sweet, and they're just changing the things of the Lord, of the word of the Lord today. Brethren, how does that take place today? By not rightly dividing the word of truth. By not just letting God's word speak to you what it has to tell you, what God's doing today, and thereby, if you don't follow in the things that the Lord is doing in this dispensation, and the dispensation of the grace of God, though you may be saved, you may be part of the saved bride believing in the gospel of Christ, you won't receive the all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, heavenly places, you know, where the clouds came from, where the light from the Lord came from, where the Lord himself came, you know, all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Yet, you know, you can just go on and you can, just as in the book of Job, those friends of Job that taught for doctrine in that time, in that period of time, the doctrine that was yet further to come through the dispensation of law given to that nation Israel, just as they were wrong holding those things up concerning Job, so the religious system today, even by some saved brothers and sisters in the Lord, can be oh so wrong by holding up the things of the law and the things of the covenant up against the believers in promise in Christ today in this dispensation. Just some other representations, brethren. Just some other similitudes. Just some other allegories. Let's go here to Zephaniah. Zephaniah chapter 1, verse 3. Zephaniah chapter 1, verse 3. We're just looking at these comparisons. As you bring these scriptures together, I can't say it any better than the Lord can, but I can lead you to where to finding the verses. I can help give a little commentary on them, but I beg of you, I plead with you, if my commentary does not follow the things in the word of the Lord, don't believe me, believe the word of the Lord. Zephaniah chapter 1, verse 3 through 7. Zephaniah chapter 1, verse 3 through 7. Look here. As the Lord is giving a revelation unto Zephaniah to give to that nation Israel, therefore say thou unto them, thus saith the Lord of hosts, turn ye unto me, saith the Lord of hosts, and I will turn unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. You know what? If you follow me, if you believe me, there's blessings. Be ye not as your fathers. Look at this. He's going to compare the nation Israel here, even even as the Lord is promising that nation that they can receive the blessings of the kingdom, he's going to compare what the nation Israel had done back there in the book of Exodus, back where we're studying the book of Exodus. He says, be not as your fathers, unto whom the former prophets have cried, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, turn ye now from your evil ways and from your evil doings. But they did not hear, nor hearken unto me, saith the Lord. Your fathers, where are they? And the prophets, do they live forever? But my words and my statutes, and which I commanded my servants, the prophets, did they not take hold of your fathers? And they returned and said, like as the Lord of hosts thought to do unto us, according to our ways and according to our doings, so hath he dealt with us. Upon the 24th day of the 11th month, which is the month Sabbath, in the second year of Darius, came the word of the Lord unto Zechariah, the son of Berechiah, the son of Iddo, the prophet, saying, Okay, go to verses 15 through 18. The word of the Lord, I'm in the wrong book. I'm sorry, brethren. Zephaniah chapter 1 verse 3 through 7. Zephaniah chapter 1 verse 3 through 7. I will consume man and beast. I will consume the fowls of heaven and the fishes of the sea. And the stumbling blocks which are wicked, and I cut off man from off the land, saith the Lord. I will also stretch out mine hand upon Judah, and upon all the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And I will cut off the remnant of Baal from this place, and the name of cherubims with the priests, and them that worship the host, them that worship the host of heaven upon the housetops, and them that worship and that swear by the Lord, and that swear by Melcham. And them that are turned back from the Lord, and those that have not sought the Lord, nor inquired of him, hold thy peace. Look here. Hold thy peace at the presence of the Lord God, for the day of the Lord is at hand. The Lord hath prepared a sacrifice. He hath bid his guests. Look here. The Lord here is giving them more representation of himself, and he's talking about the day of the Lord. He's talking about the day when the Lord is going to finish his plan with that nation Israel. Verses 15 through 18. Verses 15 through 18. The day, look here, the day is a day of wrath. Remember those prophets that were prophesying peace? Peace, peace, no judgment. The day is a day of wrath, a day of trouble and distress, a day of wasteness and desolation. Look here, word with word, spirit with spirit, truth with truth. A day of all trouble, distress, wasteness, desolation. A day of darkness and gloominess. There again, there's that. Look, a day of clouds and thick darkness. A day of the trumpet and alarm against the fenced cities and against the high towers. And I will bring distress upon men, and they shall walk, look at there, like blind men in the dark. Brethren, today, in the dispensation of the grace of God, God reminds us that even in this day, those that walk in unbelief, even as from the beginning, even those today that walk in unbelief, are walking in darkness. Remember Romans chapter 1, verses 21 through 23? Romans chapter 1, verse 21 through 23, verse 19 and 20. The Lord tells us today that he's given a witness in man. Every man, woman, child ever born has been given a witness of God in them and in the creation around them. And they chose not to believe, it says. Verse 21, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. Neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations. Useless, worthless, of no thought, of no value, and their foolish heart was darkened. Look, God gave a witness of light and truth and glory, and they changed the glory of God unto an professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Look at this, brethren. They became, even though they, as we're going to see just in a little bit, they became like unto beasts and creeping things and all those things that he's, and they were trying to make God into that, Jesus Christ, the Lord, both holy man, fully, completely man, and holy, fully, completely God. What do they say? Oh, that man that you worship that hung on that tree over there, you know? What do they say? That guy over there, you know, that man, not believing the truth of the Word of God. They changed him into a man. And yet here, we're going to see they worshipped things so degenerate. They were so degenerate in themselves. They were so vain that they tried to make God into the very things that they themselves were as. The same, you know, in the day when those men come to judgment, they're going to lose their life. They're going to spend everlasting eternity in the depths of hell, in torment and in injustice. and they're not going to have any more light from the Lord. The Lord's going to put them all down there in the center of the earth and in the lake of fire, and he's going to lock them up in there, and he's going to say, okay, and he's going to separate them one from the other so that they don't have anybody to talk to, and they're going to be all down there by themselves, locked up in that lake of fire. And God's going to say, you know what? You say you're God? Get out of that. And you know what? They're not going to get out of it. You know, we're going to see here in just a little bit how he compares them with beast and birds. You know, a beast and a bird and a creeping thing. They have life, but they have no soul. You know, the soul God put there so that we could be as one with God himself. Those that chose not to believe, their soul is degenerate. It's as a beast and birds, as we're going to see. You know what? They're not going to have any life with God through eternity. They're going to be, you know, when you have your pet dog, you know, or your pet cat, or your pet little bird, you know, when those creatures die, the spirit that was in them goes back to the Lord, and those things just become a pile of dust. And you know what? Those unbelievers are going to be just as that, only they're going to have a little added blessing, a little added judgment, a little added life, in that they're going to be able to suffer for eternity because of their choosing. You know, God's light. You know, we're talking about this cloud of darkness. To those that choose not to believe, and yet could be a light and a blessing to those that believe. That light is so much more evident. That truth is just so much more real than the lie of the man, that even a young child can understand those things. When a child, you know, comes to around the age of 12 or so, you know, as we can understand by the perfect representation of man, the Lord Jesus Christ himself, he can choose the difference between right and wrong. He can choose the difference between light and darkness. Even back then, much less the men, the old men, the men that have, you know, the bright wisdom of man, you know, that's gone through all this university system and has all the degrees, you know, all the paper on the wall. And they show it to you, look how bright I am. Those of those religious systems that you run up against, look how bright I am. If they don't choose to believe that gospel, we will see how bright they are in the end. And so here we go, all right? Here we go. By the way, I'll skip that. Let's go on here now. Brethren, here's an issue. As we've been looking at these things, and now as we're going to look at, though man tried to make God as to like corruptible man or birds or foreign for the beast. You know, we can go all the way back to Genesis chapter 15. And here in Exodus, when God had brought a judgment onto the people of Egypt, onto the people of the world, as he brought them down there, and he destroyed all their gods that were like birds, and men, and beasts, and things. As God destroyed their little g-gods, and he showed that he was the one true God, and then he comes on and he shows us how it is that he had this sacrifice, for these sacrifices for that nation, Israel, that they had sacrifices they could do, and they could burn on the altar, being part and being in light and being at one with the Lord, they could cut up these animals and they could burn them up as representative sacrifices that the Lord himself would one day do himself for all mankind. You know, we go back here to Genesis chapter 15, verses 17, verse 17. And it came to pass. Here Abraham is going to get a revelation from the Lord. And the revelation tells him to take these animals that he's got there and to cut them up on all these pieces, right? He cuts all these animals up in all these pieces, and as he does it, he lays them out in order, and then as Abraham falls asleep, he wakes up, or as he falls asleep, he has a dream. And it came to pass, verse 17, when the sun went down and it was dark, behold, when it was dark, remember the cloud, darkness in the world? The nation Israel went through in darkness. Today, we are in a world that is completely without the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. This smoke, notice here, the sun went down and it was dark. Behold, a smoking furnace and a burning lamp that passed between those pieces. those pieces. We're going to see here that this burning furnace, the judgment of the tribulation, the judgment that representation of the glorious light of the Lord has on those that don't believe, and the burning lamp, you know, the light of the Lord, as it passed between those places, all the way from the very beginning of Genesis, all the way to the end of the book of Revelation, the light of the Lord passed through this world in darkness. The light of the Lord, and it passed between all those pieces of those, you know what, look here, man is a representation of those pieces of animals. Let me give you some verses. Go to Ecclesiastes chapter 9. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 12. Now, Ecclesiastes, you be careful when you read that book, because in Ecclesiastes, what you have essentially... it's the wisdom of man. Let me get this. You know, you got Ruth, you got Job, you got Psalms, you got Proverbs, where you get the wisdom of the truths of the Word of God, and you get the Ecclesiastes, and all of a sudden you got a book that's written to show the wisdom of man as he measures his understanding up against experiences. And in Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 12, look here, the Lord looks on unbelievers as if they are animals. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 12. For man also knoweth his time. I'm sorry. For man also knoweth not his time. Look here. As the fishes that are taken in an evil net, and as the birds that are caught in the snare, so are the sons of men snared and in evil time when it faileth suddenly upon them. As those times, as hard times fall upon man, unbelieving man, look at, he is as birds that are caught in a net. Do you see the typology there? Men, unbelieving men, are as animals without the Spirit of the Lord, without the life of the Lord. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 22. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 22. Remember that smoking furnace and that burning lamp that went between the pieces? As God had promised Abraham life and light and blessings to him and his seed, he gives Abraham this representation in the dream of the smoking furnace and the burning lamp that went between the pieces. Man, all down through history, has been nothing but like as unto an animal without the life of God. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 22. Isaiah chapter 40. Verse 22. And he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth. I love that verse, the circle of the earth. You know what? Back then, back in the beginning of the continent of America, when Columbus and those guys read through the Bible, when Bible believers read through the Bible, they knew the earth was round. He that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof, are as grasshoppers, that sitteth out the heavens as a curtain, and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in. Look at, they are as grasshoppers. Remember Romans chapter 1, that man tried to make God into creeping things, and man and beasts? And yet man, that's exactly what unbelieving men are. Remember Romans chapter 2, verse 1 and 2, judge not, lest you judge yourself, because you that judge doeth the same things. Do you see how the light of the Lord, if you carry these verses in memory, as you study the word of the Lord, and his word effectually worketh in you that believe, this light becomes, you can carry it all through the Bible, and you can get such added blessings and truths and doctrines out of the word of the Lord. Go to Jeremiah chapter 12, verse 1. Jeremiah chapter 12, verse 1. Righteous art thou, O Lord, when I plead with thee. Yea, let me talk with thee of thy judgments. Wherefore doth the way of the wicked profit? Wherefore are all they happy that deal very treacherously? You You read this all the way down through there. Look at there. Look at verse 2. And thou hast planted them, yea, they have taken root, they grow, yea, they bring forth fruit. Thou art near in their mouth and far from their reins. But thou, O Lord, knowest me. Thou hast seen me and tried mine heart toward thee. Pull them out, look at it. Pull them out like sheep for the slaughter, and we prepare them for the day of the slaughter. Remember that? Remember that slaughter that you saw Abraham back there in Genesis 15? And he cut up those pieces for a sacrifice, and he laid them all through them, and the light of the Lord went through it. How long shall the land mourn and the herbs of every field wither for the wickedness of them that dwell therein? Look at, the beasts are consumed. Those people are as beasts, and the birds, because they said, he shall not see our last end. You see the type, and you can read all down through that passage there. Look at verse 9. Look at verse 9. My heritage is unto me as speckled birds, and the birds round about are as against her. Come ye, assemble all the beasts of the field, come to devour. You see how God, a man without the spirit and the life of God in him, is like an animal. And when they die, they're dead. They are separated from the light and life of the Lord forever. Look at it. Can you see the similitude there, dear brethren? Can you see the allegory? And there's some other verses I could use, but you know, as we're getting near the end here. The issue is, look here, as the Lord shows his manifestation of himself in Exodus chapter 13. Let's go back there. Exodus chapter 13, verse 21. Exodus chapter 13, verse 21. As the Lord puts up all those holy days, all those days separated unto themselves, and he gives that nation Israel a calendar that they keep their focus, their attention on him. Look at Exodus chapter 13, verse 21 and 22. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them by the way, and by night by a pillar of fire to give them light to go by day and night. He took not away the pillar of cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before them. Look here, brother. Can you imagine this? If God was doing that today, aren't we blessed that we have the Word of the Lord, and we can keep our mind, our focus, our attention on the things of the Spirit, Romans chapter 8, verse 5 and 6. But look at this. The nation Israel looked up as they were being led by God, by the very angel of God, in that cloud and in that fire, verse 14, verse 19 and 20, they had nothing but God in their focus and in their attention if they just kept their mind on what he was doing. You see there, brethren? And there were blessings that were promised. What was the trouble? They, you know what they did? They kept focusing back. We saw that last week. Pharaoh came after them, and they saw Pharaoh, and they were feared. They were frightened. They got their mind, their focus, their attention off the things of the Lord. And they got their focus on the things of Egypt and of the world. And you know what they did? They got their mind back on all those creatures, all those little g gods that God had destroyed back there just previously in the book of Exodus. As God destroyed all their little g gods, they got their mind on those gods, and it carries all through the way through that Bible. They keep their focus, their attention. They kept messing up and putting their focus and their attention back on those little g-gods, those birds, those crickets, you know, those things that God had shown them he was going to destroy. And even as the light of the Lord kept bringing them through history and yet is going to bring them into their kingdom, they continually had their focus, their attention on the wrong things. Brethren, listen. And Brother Rick Jordan likes to say this, the intelligence of man, the wisdom of man, is satanically inspired. Brethren, when you drive your car down the road, and this is just, we'll make this real quick, a typology of this today. When you drive your car down the road today, you know what, back in the 60s and 70s, they had these great big hood ornaments. And they got these cars today, you know, that are, what are they called? They're called, or they used to have a Ford called a Falcon. right? And they had this eagle that sat there right in front of your eyes on the hood of your car. And of course, what man do? You know, men, you know, they polished those cars, you know, and they cleaned those cars and they made them ever so bright. And when they rode down the road in the cars, they had their back up, you know, and their head up. And you know what? They had their focus on their cars. And, you know, it's as if they're worshiping their cars, you know, in material things. You got, you know, the Ford Falcon. You got the Ford Thunderbird, right? You remember the Firebird, the Pontiac Firebird. And you know what? They all had these great big horn ornaments. And later on, of course, the Firebird and a couple of the others, they had these great big decals that they put on the hood of their cars. We were talking a little bit earlier about how it is that America in judgment is up warring against Saddam and the regime over there in Iraq. And you know what? Have you ever seen Saddam when he speaks out in his office there, when he speaks on the television to his people out there? Have you ever noticed behind his wall, they got that little bird up there? You know that bird that is on the wall behind Saddam up there? On the, it's the same bird that was on that Ford Thunderbird. I know. I had one. It's the same bird, and it's got the same colors in it. Brethren, here's something, you know, so you got the Ford Thunderbird and the Firebird and the Falcon, you know what? And you got a car that you're riding in that has horsepower, and you want all the horsepower you could get, you know, back there in Exodus. You got the world of Egypt and Pharaoh and his followers relying upon the horsepower, on their power, and the horses and the amount of horses and their chariots and the things that they could do to fight up against the things of the Lord. Brethren, one other thing. Today, you've got basketball and football teams and all these sports teams named after, you know, the Bulls and the Bears. You know what? People are spending all their day, look here, on the television. What have they got their vision, their focus on? And the things. Now look, if you keep those things in their proper perspective, you can partake of some of them. But you know, the television, you know, telecommunicating, you know, and vision, what have they got their focus on? What are they listening to? Where are they getting all their wisdom, knowledge, and understanding? Where's all that going to? You know, there's light in that stuff. If you look at it from the word of the Lord, isn't there? Brethren, wow, I am so glad that we have the blessings, all spiritual blessings and heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We have a fully completed, a fully perfected, a fully preserved Word of God. And we can not only look at the things all around us under the vision, under the focus of the Spirit of the Lord, but we can look all the way back through history, and we can look all the way into the future. In the future. And as we keep our mind, our focus, our attention on the things of the Spirit, we're able to discern the difference between all those things, right? We have the mind of the Lord, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10 through 16. We have the very mind of God. Brethren, nobody has had the all spiritual blessings and heavenly places such as you have today. And I hope, and I know that life of God is living in you and through you, because you're here listening to these wonderful truths that the Lord has for you, and it's the life of God in you that's got you leading that way. As His Word, 1 Timothy 2:13, His Word effectually worketh in you that believe, and as it works in me. And brethren, I thank you. I thank the Lord. I thank the Lord for your faithfulness and for His life that's in you and for your coming here to share in fellowship with us as we look through these things in the Old Testament survey on Sunday mornings here with the Christ Body Bible Church. We thank you all for this in Christ's name. Father,